I don't know. I got this crazy message that I want to share with you. And, I'm trusting the Lord. He's always, for all these years, been right on. So I'm just going to believe I'm following the Holy Ghost for somebody here tonight. So get your Bibles out. Go to 1 Samuel, Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 30. You know, I want y'all to know, anybody that's listening to this tape or listening out here tonight, you're in the building, or if you're in the larger audience out there in the world, you know, it's funny, because as Christians, well, let me ask you this. As a Christian, have you ever had hesitation? I don't want to use the word embarrassment, because I don't think that's really the word, but a hesitation or a apprehension in sharing the gospel with somebody, or sharing, you know, because you maybe don't know where they are in their faith, or don't know where they are in their walk with the Lord, and you have, you know, like I said, it's not embarrassment, because I don't think any of you in here are embarrassed about Jesus, but you kind of apprehensive because you don't know what kind of reaction you're going to get. I mean, has that happened to all of us? I mean, I think it has at all times. And so this message that I'm going to share with you right now probably brings more apprehension to Christians trying to share with somebody simply because it's about the Holy Ghost. And you never know what a person's thoughts are, you know, what their ideas are about the Holy Spirit. To me, it's so cut and dried. To me, it's just as black and white as, you know, as black ink on a white piece of paper. I mean, there's just, I mean, I see it. But I realize that that's because, you know, that's who I am, and that's how I've learned. And you get somebody that's been in another faith for a long time, and their question, you know, their ideas and their questions may be completely different. So I want to share this with you tonight, if nothing else, to put ammo in your belt so that you have a basis to approach somebody. But I was sharing this Sunday morning about living a prophetic life, and about how David, when he went down to go to battle with Goliath, that he reached down and he picked up five smooth stones, and he only needed one. He knew he only needed one, and that we do know through the scriptures that Goliath had four brothers, but I don't know if David knew it. I don't know. I don't like to portray it one way or the other, you know, because I don't know. But I do know that he picked up five stones, and there was five people that was on his hit list, and he finally, at the end of his life, gets the last one, Ishbibenob. When he gets him killed, one of his mighty men had to come help him, but he got him killed. And but the point is that I do believe that we have to live a prophetic life. And when I say a prophetic life, what I mean is, if you let the world declare to you how your day is going to be, how your life's going to be, how it's going to end up, and what your future is going to be like, then you're going to be in depression at all times. And I think all of us in here know that we've heard enough teaching that we know that God's word is truth, and that what we need to be doing is speaking truth out of our lips. But how many of you would be honest in here, even though you know, even though you may have a pretty good Rhema notebook going where you've got scriptures written down, you would admit to saying that you've had a discouraging day before? Huh? Yep. To where, you know, you're not going to give up your Christianity, but you're just tired. You're just wore out. You're just, you know, you want things to go easier. You're just, I don't know what to say. It could be a various bunch of things. You could be hurting in one area of your life, or got bad report, or, you know, whatever, but it's just life. It's just life. And I think as good a Christians as we are, we get to that place in life that we want to encourage ourselves. Like, you know, we want to say, well, Lord, Philippians 1 and 6 is, you know, that you're going to, you know, you're going to make all the good things are going to work for us. And Lord, you've got a good plan for my life. And we can go through the scriptures and we can say it, but sometimes we don't have much feeling with it. Right? And so, this is what I want to share this with you about, because I think this is life. I mean, I think we're lying to ourselves if we don't agree that we have discouraging thoughts come to us. All right? You're really, unless you're just in some happy place, and I don't know, man, I want some. Give me some of the water you're drinking, you know? Now, it says here in 2 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1, so it says, now it happened that when David and the men came into Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag was under, and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and taken captive the women, those who were there, from small to great, and they did not kill anyone, but carried them all away, and they went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, David's two wives, and I'm not reading right here. Anyway, skip all that. Now David was greatly distressed, so the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, and every man for his son and his daughter. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. You know, I shared two things Sunday. I said, number one, that you've got to live a prophetic life. And then the second thing that I talked about was how that, you know, you've got to get into a warrior mentality. You've got to get into a warrior mindset about what's right. And I think the first thing you have to understand is that having negative thoughts, having discouragement, doesn't mean you're in sin. It means you're human. You with me? I mean, this right now doesn't sound like a great rah-rah message, but just hold on a minute, you know? It doesn't mean that you're not human. I mean, that you're in sin. It just means that you're human, right? It just means that this is life. This is the life we live in. This is how we're made. Some of us are made a little different than others, and some of us take things one way and the other. And, you know, my wife and I, you know, we're exactly the opposites. I'm the complainer. I'm the kicker. I'm the griper. I'm the throw up the arms. I'm the one that marches around the porch. I'm the one that, you know, gets all mad. I'm ready to go to war. Just wish I could beat the devil. You know, a complainer, she never says anything. She's just that kind of person. But she's going through it, but she just internalizes it. Not me. I'm out there just shooting guns off and, you know, going crazy. Right? Okay. But what David did was he encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, here we go. I want to tell you that just straight up, the number one greatest way to get yourself out of that place is praying in tongues. Now, where I've differed a lot from a lot of different Pentecostal people is I don't believe, personally, Sunday morning is the place for everybody to come in here and stand in here and pray in tongues as loud as they can. And the reason why I believe that is because I believe people that are unbelievers, that are not necessarily unbelievers, but don't really know what's going on, scares the fire out of everybody, and they run out the door, and we could witness to those people and bring them along and send them to freedom prayer. Disciple them and grow them on up. Make great servants of the Lord out of them, okay? But I'm telling you what, on days when you're having a hard time, that's when you need tongues. So go to the book of Jude, the little book before Revelations, book of Jude. And chapter, there's only one chapter to it. So it's verse 20. It says, but beloved, build up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercies of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Look at Romans 8. In Romans 8, I've lost my glasses. I didn't bring my glasses tonight, so I'm having a difficult time seeing. It's verse 26. If I get far enough away from it, I can see it. It says, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So this is what I'm... let me read the whole thing. Likewise, there's big letters. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for, what we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Okay. When we pray in the Holy Spirit, I mean, I could go through all the scriptures. We could go, and I could go through the whole Pentecostal message of praying in the Holy Ghost. But bottom line is, it's like I said, it's black and white. I don't know about y'all, but when I'm discouraged, I really need to keep my mouth shut. Are y'all with me? Because the thoughts that are coming to my mind and what's going to come out of my mouth is not lining up with the Word of God. And I'm smart enough to know that death and life's in the power of the tongue, and a man's going to eat by the fruit of his mouth. And so I really need to keep quiet. I know I do. So even if you're going to be discouraged and you're going to say something out of your mouth, even if you start saying stupid things like, God, I don't know why things are going like this and whatever, it's still not fruitful. So this is where my black and white is. The best thing to do is to shut up and pray in tongues. Because it's the only thing that the Holy Spirit's going to do. He's going to pray through you, and He's going to know what needs to be prayed for, and you should just really little order to keep your mouth shut in English. That's the way I am. I look at it, I was like, man, I do not need to be saying anything out of my mouth unless I'm reading the Scripture. Right? And then even I can get sarcastic in that. Right, I'm just being real with you tonight. And I don't know any other way to have victory. I don't know any other way to do it. I have nothing else in my toolbox as a wrench that can help you except that. There's a wrench. I don't know what it's called. It looks like a pipe wrench. Maybe, Nick, maybe you know what the name of this thing is. It looks like the head for a pipe wrench. You use it on sink faucets where it flips over on a 90 degree. David, you know what the name of this thing is? A what? Basing wrench. Basin wrench. I didn't know that. Do you know that? It's a handy little dude. A basin wrench. I didn't know that was the name of it. Oh, yeah. But in especially putting a faucet in a sink, if you do not have that wrench, you're going to get frustrated really quick. But if you have that wrench, it makes life easy. Right? I break one all the time because they're not really strong tool. And when you really get on them and put a cheater pipe back there and you're trying to work them with something that you're not supposed to, you break them. So every time I go to a pawn shop, I walk in there, I'm looking for tools or deals like that. I see one, man, I buy it like that. Got three or four of them in my truck all the time because they're the handiest little things I've ever seen. It's like praying in tongues. Right? It's my basin wrench to go pull out when I don't know what's going on and I don't know what to do. That's the wrench I reach for. Right? I've always said for a long time, I can fix anything with a 3-pound ball peen hammer and a 12-inch crescent. If it can't be fixed with that, then, you know, I need to call somebody else. But that's what I'm talking about. That little basin wrench is like the power of praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, the world today is getting stupider by the second. I mean, really, folks, I mean, I just can't believe it was this bad in the 60s. You know, when I look back, yeah, Everybody was stoned, so everybody's having a good time. Huh, it wasn't a problem. Peace and love. No, what I'm saying is that you look back in history, I mean, just from my perspective, and I see the 60s as, you know, burning flags in the street and the hippies and the anti-protests against the war in Vietnam and the things that was being going on and then the drug usage and, you know, all this kind of stuff like this. But then, and then look what was going on in politics, you know, with everything that was going on there. We got Nixon, you got Watergate, you got all these things happening, you know, you got... And so I try to compare, but now people, I just am shocked at how people are living and what's going on in life and what people are putting up with and demonic things that I'm like, what's happening in your house? And you're okay with it? Well, I mean, they don't knock the pictures off, but every once in a while. I'm like, excuse me, something's in your house flying around. It's not animal. It's demonic. It knocks the pictures off your walls, but it only does it every now and then, so you're okay. Sweet baby Jesus, I burned the house down. Are y'all with me? I don't know how I'm getting off on all this stuff, but I'm just having these thoughts just running through my mind. I got to tell you all this, because just so you know where I came from. Laura and I, when we were living in Sabinal, Pastor Randy was still here, and we had care meetings, care group. We called them care group meetings. And so Sunday nights, we met at our house in Sabinal. So the little couple started coming. And one day they asked Laura and I if we would come to their house and pray over their house. Now, this is my wife's there. She's standing right by my side. So, man, I'm young, fireball, man. I just nothing in the world I didn't wouldn't, you know, tackle and jump in the middle of. Didn't know anything, you know, but Jesus, and he's real, and the Bible's true, and, you know, we'll find it in there, and by God, we'll do something. And so we go over there, and so the lady said, well, I want you all to pray over our house. And I was like, well, you know, I'm not too familiar how you do that. I don't think there's any right or wrong way. I said, you got any oil? We need oil. I know. And she said, what kind of oil? I said, I don't care. You know, Wesson oil will work. Just give me some oil. And so, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I'm just like, I'm like a kid with a machine gun. Okay. But I got the word, man. I'm full of faith. And so she brings me the oil and we start. And so we said, okay. And she said, well, how do you do this? And I said, well, I don't think there's any rules to it. I said, you know, I think we're just, I said, seems like to me, I'm just doing this total logical. I mean, I've never prayed over anybody's house in my life. It seems like to me we ought to start over here, you know, and we'll just start praying over the windows and we'll just work it upstairs, you know, and herd it out of here, you know, it'll be okay. And so the lady then tells me, she says, yeah, well, you know, be careful. And I said, what do you mean, be careful? And she said, well, look, you know, this is what I did to my daughter last night. And there was this, her daughter, and think she's got scratches all over her arm. And I was like, no, you know, y'all are messing with me. Just messing with me, you know. So anyway, I started praying. And man, as I started praying, it was like Amityville Horror come on in that house. And so my hair on the back of my neck, I mean, my shirt is raised like this. And so I'm like, holy cow. And so we go to pray. We pray over the downstairs, and then it had a upstairs, and the door went up, and there was a landing, and then it went up, and there was a landing, and then it turned. It was a little short piece of stairs and went up to the second floor. And so the lady tapped me on the shoulder and said, well, you know, it lives up there. I was like, really? I said, man, this is getting serious. And so, man, I'm just... You can't imagine how loud I am praying in tongues. I don't know what else to do, man. I am praying, shouting in tongues. I'm rattling the wind in this whole house. And so we start to go up the stairs, okay? And so we're going up the stairs. And the first thing, it was like a trail of everybody following me. Oh, God, I'm so embarrassing. So... they're all following me. I can't get back down the stairs because there's just a line of about seven people. We're all going up those stairs. And so I'm at the front, and I feel like I'm like, hold on, don't know who'll be pushing. Let's just take this slow. You know, I don't know what I'm getting into here. And so
Man, as God is my witness, when I got to that landing that turned and then there was a little short section of stairs, at that exact moment, I had an open vision. I mean, the wall just went away. And I saw this demon in that room over there opposite me. I was like, frozen. I was just like, I mean, it had never happened to me before. I didn't know what was going on. And it's like this, and I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And this thing backed up a little bit more. And I said, I tell you. And so then I saw it backed up. It's like, I mean, I know general fighting skills, right? We learned in the back of the, you know, high school. So, man, I got even backed up. I said, man, I'm going for it, you know. So, man, I said, in the name of Jesus, you know, I'm telling you, you get out of here. And, you know, and when I said that, he just comes charging me. And so, what does anybody do when you see something like that? I went, whoo, I ducked. I just ducked. And behind me going down the line, everybody screamed, wah! And the girl said, the lady that owned the house, she said, it went right out that hole. And there was a little hole in the window. Somebody had shot a bullet through there, you know, like a 22 or a deal. And she went right out that hole. So I run over there, put some oil on it. I said, we got this thing out here, you know, so let's just, okay, we got it taken care of, you know, everybody okay, everybody all right, you know, bless the home, Father, you know, poured some more oil around everywhere and got out of there. But the point of that whole crazy story is that the Holy Ghost, I don't know what I'd do. You know what I'm saying? Without the Holy Ghost, I don't know what I would do. And as this world just goes on, man, people are crazy, and I don't know what they're doing. And I'm like, how are you living without the Holy Spirit? How are you living without the power of praying in tongues? How are you living without the power of the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you? Why are you living and letting the devils torment you like this? And why is this happening? And why do you do this? And why do you just keep going as slaves in bondage to the what the world's got, and you don't stand up and do something about it? I'm shocked. And I feel like I'm screaming to a brick wall. Because ain't nobody listening. Nobody's listening. No, I'm talking about you guys are, but I'm talking about the world. I'm talking about the world that's just headed down that path. Not you guys. Y'all are here in church tonight. I'm talking about the world out there and trying to talk to them. And what people are going through, and they just keep going through. I'm like, why don't you come this way? And they just keep going that way. I'm just blown away. You think we might want to change? Nobody wants to. Man, it's so far down there from when my rock bottom was 30 years ago. My rock bottom is like everybody else's daily life. That's what I think's crazy. And I'm like, what are y'all just getting more resilient, more tolerant, or what? Good gosh. My point is, the message to the world's got to be the Holy Ghost. Message to the world's got to be the Holy Ghost. And I just want to encourage you tonight, okay? If you have wrestled with a prayer language, you don't feel fluent in your prayer language, you don't feel like you've got a prayer language down that, you know, is it something that's effective and going there? I tell you what, you need to talk to Lexi and Jeannie, you need to go through freedom prayer, you need to get free and get flowing, because it's the only thing that's going to set you free. I'm telling you what, my prayer language, praying in the Holy Ghost, like I said, it's the only thing that keeps my head above water. And the thing is you, you'll never know what it's done until you get to heaven. You know what I mean? Because you may be thinking you're praying about your circumstance, but it may not even be that at all.
Holy Ghost just looks and says, oh, Bruce looks discouraged today. Let's just see if we can get him praying in the Holy Ghost because we need some prayer over here in Guatemala. And then he said, oh, I just had such a great prayer time. Pray today till my soul was lifted and I just know God's answered my prayer. And he's like, well, it does say, I was reading this morning in 1 Thessalonians 4, where it does say that we are to His glory and honor. Well, it's not our glory and honor. It's His glory and honor to accomplish His will, not ours. Amen? So that's what my encouragement is to you tonight. And I'm just telling you, don't hesitate. Don't be apprehensive. You got a friend or you yourself and you need whatever, just tell them, man, it's the Holy Ghost. Get over being concerned about it. Get over being nervous about it. It's the Holy Ghost. Jump on board. Get filled up. Get to flowing. Amen? So praise God. Good Pentecostal message tonight. Fighting devils and praying the Holy Ghost. Probably I'll just throw this tape away tonight.